Welcome to Life Church Birmingham. We are glad you have listened today. We know God has a plan and purpose for your life and want to help you be successful in Jesus Christ. We know you will receive a message of hope and encouragement.
Like Zach said, I have the privilege this morning of sharing the word with us today, and we're going to continue in this Conquer series that Pastor Tim has been preaching. And I never take it lightly, the opportunity to share the Word of God. I love diving into God's Word, studying and applying it to my life, and I love trying to help others to do the same. And so today, we're gonna read our theme scripture for the year, Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Anybody got it memorized already? Raise your hand if you like. Pastor Tim has said it like every week for the past 15 weeks. Like somebody's probably got it memorized, right? Anybody? All right. Do we have it on the screen for everybody? Let's read it together on the count of three. One, two, three. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. So this is our theme verse for the year, that God has called us to conquer some things, to overcome some things. And it's a great reminder that we don't conquer and overcome by our flesh, by our own strength, by our own power, by even our own will. But we overcome, we conquer through Jesus, the one who shed His blood for us, the one who loves us so much that He laid down His life for us. So today, our key scripture story that we're going to be looking through is found on three different occasions in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We're going to read this account from Matthew in Matthew chapter 19, verse 13, and we're going to be talking about conquering checklist Christianity. Conquering checklist Christianity. So let's jump into this verse, where Jesus meets this man, and he's a Jewish man, and he's wealthy. He's a wealthy man, and he comes up to Jesus. Jesus has just been doing a whole bunch of teaching. He's been traveling around through Galilee. He's shared the Sermon on the Mount on the hills out of the Sea of Galilee. And he goes around, he leaves Galilee, and he starts teaching in other areas around there, and he starts heading towards the Jordan River, the area around the Jordan River, and he meets up with these crowds of people, and he begins to teach them about the kingdom of heaven. And here's where we pick up the story in verse 13. The people brought little children to Jesus. Aren't you glad that Jesus is not afraid to let little children in His ministry? The people brought little children to Jesus for Him to place His hands on them and to pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. The disciples were trying to like let the important people come close to Jesus, right? They had their idea of who was important and who was worthy to receive prayer and blessings and teaching from Jesus. And so they tried to keep the people with children, tried to keep those children away. And Jesus said, "Let the little children come to Me. And do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." In another place, Jesus said, "Unless you become like one of these little children, you cannot come into the kingdom of heaven." And so this is an important part of this teaching. Jesus calling the little children to come close to Him and letting us know that it is people like the little children who are able to come into the kingdom of heaven, to the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the skies. When He placed His hands on them, He went on from there. So after He had blessed the little children, He went on teaching. He's continuing to move around. And then he comes to meet this young man. Just then a man came up to Jesus and he asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" Jesus said, "Why do you ask Me what is good? There is only one who is good. If you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." Keep the commandments. So I love how, like, when Jesus is teaching, He's always, like, echoing things. He's always echoing scripture that God has already revealed to us. He's pulling us back, trying to spark these things in our memory. The things that these Israelites, these Hebrews, they would have thought about because they spent time reading the Torah. They spent time reading the law. They spent time reading the prophets. They spent time having it taught to them on the weekends in the synagogues. And he said, if you want to enter into life, then keep the commandments. And so the guy says, well, which ones? What's the list? Jesus replied, you shall not murder, commit adultery, steal, give false testimony, honor your mother and father, love your neighbor as yourself. You see where this is going? It's the 10, right? It's these 10 words that God calls out to Moses and the children of Israel when they're close to the mountain, just coming out of slavery in Egypt. Jesus is bringing that picture back to mind. The young man said, all of these things I've kept. What do I still lack? Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go and sell all your possessions, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. Man, that's a tough one. Like, okay, here we go. The young man heard this. He went away sad. Can you imagine? He's like, he's feeling pretty good, right? Okay, I've been keeping the commandments. I've kept them since I was a young man. I must be doing pretty good, right? And Jesus says, all right, then go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And come and follow me. And can you see the picture of this man? His countenance goes from, look at me. I've been doing the things. I've been keeping the list. He goes from that proud moment, feeling like he's done good, to the, oh man, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. That's a little bit too much. And Jesus said to his disciples, truly I tell you, it's hard for someone who is rich to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, this morning's message is not on tithing, by the way. But can you imagine the person who thought tithing was tough? To hear, now go and sell everything and give everything away. All of a sudden, tithing doesn't seem so tough anymore, right? So sometimes I hear this complaint, well, tithing, that's Old Testament. That's part of the old law. I don't have to do that anymore. Jesus gives the new law, right? I'll just go sell everything and give it away then. Come and follow me. So this morning we're talking about the checklist. See, this young ruler, he asked, what's the list, right? What's the checklist? What do I have to do to be saved, to have eternal life? I want to make sure I tick all the boxes. I want to make sure I'm doing good. I want to be good enough to get into heaven. He wants the checklist. And I know so many times in our life, we try to boil our walk with Jesus down to a checklist. Have I read my Bible enough today? Or have I prayed enough today? Or did I go to church enough times this month? Or did I serve in the right ministry teams? Or did I give enough money in the offering? Whatever the checklist is, we like to make it easy. And there's nothing wrong with a checklist, right? Checklists are good. They serve a purpose. This morning, I want us to look at this story about this young man who's coming to Jesus with this checklist. And he's asking Jesus to make sure that he's got the right checklist, right? That he's doing the right things on the checklist. Like, which ones? Are there any that I'm missing? I want to add them to my checklist and check them off. And Jesus calls him a little bit deeper, a little bit closer. And that's where we're going to dive into this morning. I want to give a shout out to John and Levi this morning. Friday, we took a little trip down to Gordo, and I must confess that I felt underprepared on Friday as I was going to help do some work, and I was just bouncing some ideas off of them. So it's always nice to have friends and people around you that you can bounce ideas of things that you've been reading in Scripture off of, that you can dive deeper into God's Word together in community. an important part of our practice as Christians to do life together, to bounce things off of his word. See, Jesus calls people and he calls us to follow him daily, not just to meet a checklist. Yes, we need to keep God's commands, right? That's important. We need to spend time reading his word, connecting with him, hearing from him. We need to spend time praying and talking to him. We need to spend time worshiping and repenting and living holy lives and sharing the gospel with other people and making disciples. We need to do those things. But today I want to help us to go a little bit beyond a checklist. Not just simply doing a checklist of things, but being faithful to follow Jesus like a little child, like a little kid. So I want to share a story with you this morning. Let me tell you about a little boy. And let's call this little boy Caleb. Do we have any Calebs here? Not that Caleb. A little boy named Caleb. And early in the morning, Caleb's dad would get up and say to him, "Hey, buddy, come with me. We're going to go to the store and then we'll grab some breakfast together." And Caleb had an idea. Instead of just getting up and going with his dad, he sat down at the table and he made a checklist. Sit at the table, check. Eat my cereal, check. Put on my shoes, check. Say, "Dad, I love you," check. And every morning, Caleb would proudly walk up and say to his dad, "Dad, I did everything on the checklist." And his dad would look at him and say, "That's great, son, but I wanted you to come with me." And the next day, the same thing. His dad said, "Caleb, I'm heading out. Come on." Caleb stayed behind working on his checklist. This time, he added even more to the checklist. "Clean my room. Check. Read a book. Check. Practice my Bible memory verse. Check." Again, he came back to his dad smiling. "Dad, look. Look at my list. I did it all." Again, his dad said, "I'm proud of you, but I didn't ask you to complete a list. I asked you to come be with me." Finally, one day, Caleb stopped with his checklist in his hand. He looked at his dad and he said, "So, Dad, you don't want me to do all this stuff?" His dad knelt down and said, "Yes, all these things are great, but I don't want you to just do things for me. I want you to walk with me." This is what we're talking about this morning. I know we may have all been wondering, who's Caleb? Do I know Caleb? But the real question is, am I Caleb? Am I Caleb? Am I the rich young ruler who wants to make a checklist of all the right things, by the way? There's nothing wrong with the things on the checklist. There are things that need to be done. There are things we should be doing. But Jesus says, "I want you to come with me. I want you to walk with me. I want you to be with me. I want you to follow me daily." See, Jesus calls back again in the story over and over again, reminding us about the daily things. Right? When he's teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, he reminds us that as we pray and when we talk to God, that we should ask God for our daily bread. Reminding us the story of the Israelites when they came out of Egypt and they're walking in the wilderness and didn't know where their food was going to come from. Reminding them that God would show up daily to supply them with the food that they needed, with the bread from heaven, with the frosted flakes that were so delicious. Daily those would come, except for before the Sabbath, remember? They had to collect an extra day's worth. Another model of dependence on God. Because the 6 days, they would get up every day and get that daily portion. And then on the seventh day, they needed to rest and trust God that he would supply enough that they would still have what they need on the day that they didn't do any work. So Jesus calls us to follow him daily, to rely on him daily, to be with him daily. We must be going where he goes every day. We must be saying what he says every day, treating people the way that he treats them every day, being led by his Spirit every day, not relying on our own strength, not relying on our own provision, not relying on our own checklist. Here's our first point this morning. The first point is Jesus meets me where I am. Jesus meets me where I am. Matthew 19, 16, we see again this young man, he comes up and he asks Jesus, what do I have to do? He's asking for the list. What's the good things that I must do to get eternal life? He's asking for a list, so what does Jesus do? Jesus meets him where he is, and he gives him a list. He's like, what's the list? What do I got to do? Jesus said, here's the list. Keep the commands. Go back to that moment of God speaking loudly and thunderously from the top of a mountain for all of Israel to hear. Here are the 10 commands. Keep me as your number one, right? Keep me as your God. Don't have any other idols. Don't have any other gods before me. And Jesus goes through the list with him. He meets this man where he's at. Today I want you to know, no matter where you are in the room with Jesus, no matter where you are in your walk with him, Jesus is willing to meet you where you are today. Maybe you're in the room and you've been walking with Jesus for years. Feels like your whole life. Jesus is here with you today to meet you right there. He's right here with you. Or maybe you're at the other end of the spectrum and you came in today, somebody invited you. Maybe you saw something on the internet that caught your attention and you said, you know what, I'm gonna go to church there today. And you're here and you haven't started walking with Jesus. You're like this young man. He hadn't yet started following Jesus. Jesus shows up and meets him where he's at. Jesus is here to meet each of us where we're at today. He wants to show up and speak to us in the middle of the things going on. The man asked for a list. Jesus gave him a list. He's following up right where he's at. Maybe some of us today have been like this young man. We want a list to keep it simple. And again, hear me, there's nothing wrong with having a good list of things to make sure you're doing some right things, right? There's nothing wrong with the list. I'm a pretty task-oriented person. I like to complete tasks. I have to pay attention to notice the emotional and people thing in the room because I'm usually, like, I've got a task that I'm usually trying to accomplish. I like a list. And when it comes to being a partner with my wife around the house, I like to have a list. There's nothing wrong with having a list. But if our whole relationship was built on me just getting a list from her all the time, that wouldn't work, right? That's not a relationship. She meets me where I am. She gives me a list. When I need to jump on board and help clean or do something, she helps me with a list. But if it was all about the list, it wouldn't work. Thank you for the list. Relationships take more than lists. A list can be easy. It helps us to count things, right? It helps us to check things off. I know some of our other staff members like to have a list, right? Pastor Elisa, she likes to have a list and make sure that she marks things off the list. Nothing wrong with that. This rich young man, he had a checklist. And he felt like he had almost everything right. Right? Oh yeah, I've done all those things. I've kept all those commandments since I was young. I've done the list. But there was still one thing that had his heart, and it wasn't Jesus. Jesus is willing to meet us where we are. But he loves us too much to leave us there. He's always going to call us closer. See, checklist Christianity says, I've done enough. Or it asks, have I done what was expected of me? But following Jesus to the next level says, what's next, Lord? Where you lead, I will follow every day. See, this rich young ruler, he asked for a list. Jesus met him where he was and gave him a list, but that wasn't the end. Jesus called him closer. Our next point today is Jesus is calling me closer. Jesus is calling me closer. So like this rich young ruler in Matthew 19:21, Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. Jesus took the opportunity not to leave this man where he was, checking off a list, feeling like he was good enough, like he had done enough to get there, but Jesus called him closer. Called him closer to follow him. See, the true treasure of heaven is the presence of God. The true treasure of heaven is the presence of spending time with God. Jesus didn't want the man just to fulfill a duty or an obligation to be good, but he wanted him to follow him. He wanted him to walk with him, to talk with him, to go where he was going, to do what he was doing, to impact the world around him. Jesus is calling us closer. He's calling me closer. See, he was echoing back to the previous encounter with the little children, saying, I want you to come close to me like little children do. Like little children, they just want to be with their parents. They just want to be close to them. They just want to be loved. They just want to be protected. They just want to be taken care of. Jesus was calling each and every one of us closer to him today. No matter where we are in our journey, he's constantly saying, follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me every day. Everywhere I'm going, follow me. Everything I'm saying, follow me. Do what I'm doing. Jesus gave us a couple of things that it would look like for people who followed him daily. What does it look like? And so let's pull some scriptures where Jesus is talking to his disciples and talking to people around him of what does it look like for those who are following him closely. Mark 16:15 says, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. So what does it look like for people who are following Jesus? They're going around and they're sharing the good news everywhere they go. Like, it's not a checklist, it's just what we do, right? We're just everywhere we go, we're spending the time sharing the gospel, baptizing people, seeing people who are saved. And then it says, and these signs will accompany those who believe. So those who believe, who are going out sharing the gospel, these are things that you're going to notice in them. You're going to see them doing. These are some signs that will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. In my name, they will speak in new languages, speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. They will drink deadly poison and will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. Just a quick side note, we don't have any snakes here. Like, we're not doing that. Like, that's a misrepresentation and interpretation of this scripture. It's not calling people to go get snakes and scorpions. It's saying that if people run across snakes and scorpions along the way while they're going to share the gospel, that if they're bitten or stung, that God will protect them. Not, hey, let's go get them and play with them and see what happens. Not doing that. These are a couple of the signs, right, that will follow them. Here's some more. John 13:34. Jesus said, a new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples. Again, this is not a checklist. It's just when you love me and you're following me, you're going to love one another. And people are going to notice the way that you love one another. They'll be able to tell that you're my disciples by the way that you love one another. Now, we have a couple of practical things coming up where we can love one another, right? Zach mentioned the picnic in the park. We've got the picnic in the park coming up May 3rd. That's next Sunday. So if you haven't already signed up or went online to pay, go ahead and take a moment this morning before you leave. There's a sign-up sheet in the foyer if you want to just write your name, or we have a QR code and some signs around the building. You can scan that QR code to go ahead and pay that way. But it's just a way for us to get together, to love one another, to fellowship, have some hamburgers and hot dogs and treats and stuff in the park. Another way for us to love on one another, spend time with one another, is for the ladies. This is for the ladies coming up. May 9th, we have our Mother's Day brunch. Can you put, oh yeah, women's brunch. And so ladies, if you haven't signed up for that yet, this is a good opportunity for you to get together with some other ladies and love one another like Jesus said. His disciples, they're going to love one another. We've got some guys who are going to help with some food and stuff. If you're available that morning and you want to help with some of that food, hit me up after service and I'll put you on the list, gentlemen, to help me with some food preparation and stuff like that. It's just a good opportunity for us to fellowship, for us to love on one another, and for us to feel loved. Jesus said, everyone will know you are my disciples if you love one another. He said, my sheep will know my voice. John 10:27. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. One way we know if people are following Jesus, they start to know his voice. The call of Jesus to come and follow him. And here's the tough one. Luke 9:23. He said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. They take up their cross daily and follow me. People who are following Jesus, who Jesus is calling them closer. They're going to deny themselves some things. You may notice that they'll be fasting sometimes because they deny themselves some things. You may notice that they don't go to all the same places that everyone in the world goes to, right? They may not do all the same things that people in the world do because they deny themselves some things. They're willing to do the things that are tough. They're willing to take up their cross daily and follow Jesus. So again, there's nothing wrong with a list. Lists have purpose. There are reasons to have lists. But Jesus, I think, wants us to treat those lists more like rhythms. So instead of just saying, well, I've got to read his word today to check off the list, remind yourself that it's a rhythm of following Jesus. I read his word to hear him, to hear his voice. I'm not reading his word to check it off the list because I think it's something I'm supposed to do to be good. But I read his word because I want to hear from him. Whether it's a few verses, whether it's a few chapters. I'm reading his word today so that I can hear from him. I want to hear his voice. I pray because I want to talk to him and I want to talk with him. I don't pray because I feel like I need to pray for an hour to be a good Christian. I pray because I want to talk with him. I don't worship because we have a great worship team and the music's all the style that I love to sing to, or because I have a great voice, but I worship because it honors him. I don't worship to make me feel better. I don't worship because I feel like I'm supposed to check it off a list, but I worship because it honors him. I don't repent just because I think it's the right thing to do. I'll check it off my list for today, but I repent because I want to stay close to him, because I want to get rid of everything that hinders me from him, that doesn't look like him, that doesn't sound like him. I repent so I can stay close to him. I don't make disciples because it makes me a good Christian. I don't make disciples because it's on my checklist. I make disciples because Jesus has called us to walk with Him together. He's called us to bring other people along. Because when I make a disciple, I become more like Jesus. I don't give because somebody told me that I was supposed to give 10% and that's my tithe and that's my checklist. I don't give because I want people to see that I'm putting something in the offering plate. I give because I want to be thankful and I want to be generous like He is. They're not boxes to check off of a list. They're a way to stay closer to Jesus. I saw a picture, and I'm not sure if where this picture is on my notes. I saw a picture on social media the other day. It was about discipleship. There we go. It said if Sunday school is your discipleship plan, the devil is thrilled. And this was specifically aimed at people with children, discipling their children. So if Sunday school, or we could even put in like just showing up at church to mark a checkbox, if that's your discipleship plan, the devil is thrilled because he's got the other 6 days of the week. He's got public school. He's got social media. He's got the TV. He's got music. He's got screens on in every household. And then, again, for children's church, he's making it kind of funny. And you've got 45 minutes and a craft project. Jesus is calling us to be His disciples. And so many times we think, well, if I just do these checklists, if I just show up at church on Sunday, if I just read my Bible for 10 minutes and pray for 10 minutes and give 10% in the offering, then I got it. Jesus is calling us so much closer than just those. And again, all those things are good things. As a matter of fact, one of the last times that I preached, we preached about a discipleship checkup, right? We went through and looked at how we're doing in some areas. And I hope that I came across that it wasn't about a checklist then, but it was about us being Jesus' disciples. But it's just a reminder that having a checklist is not a bad thing. It's just not the only thing. And it's not, and Jesus is calling us closer than that. Jesus, we know that He knows that the heart behind our checklist, right? The heart behind our checklist is for us to be good Christians, right? The heart behind our checklist is because we know that there are some important things that we should be doing. And sometimes if we don't check up on them and check them off, sometimes we miss those things, right? Has anybody ever been going on a trip and you had a checklist of all the things you needed to have to be going on that trip? I know, I became a certified scuba diver many years ago. And one of the things in prepping for those dive trips is making sure you've got your stuff, right? You need to make sure you've got a mask, pretty important. You need to make sure that you've got all your equipment, all the right things. You know, you want to have your fins, right? You don't want to be fighting in the water without fins. You need to make sure that you've got your buoyancy device and your weights and you want to make sure you've got some way to get air out of a tank into your mouth. You need to have a checklist, right? It's important to make sure you have the important things there. But when we try to live our lives as Christians completely on a checklist, it's like going through the checklist, doing all the right things, making sure we've got all the right stuff, making sure we leave behind all the stuff that we don't need, and then never going anywhere. Never leaving to go on the trip. You know, we're getting ready for our missions trip to Colombia. It's coming up at the end of next month. And I will have a checklist of things. You better believe I have a checklist of things that we will have with us to go on that trip to Colombia. And there will be a list of things that I'm not going to bring with me, like 4 pairs of clothes. I won't be bringing 4 pairs of clothes. I'm only bringing 3 pairs of clothes. So I make sure I've got the right stuff, and I leave the stuff I'm not going to need. But if I never left to go on that trip, if I never went to accomplish the goal, That's what our checklists sometimes can do for us. They're not bad, but Jesus isn't looking for completed boxes. He's looking for surrendered hearts that leave their checklist to follow him closely. Here's our third point, our last point, and the worship team can come forward. Today, I want us to choose to follow Jesus beyond a checklist. Again, we can have the checklist to keep us on track, right? To make sure, sometimes we want to count the things that are important to us. Listen, sometimes we'll take a look here in the office. Sometimes we'll try to get a rough count. How many hours is our church corporately praying together, right? We have different prayer meetings and stuff. We sometimes will do a checklist because we want to know, like, how are we doing? As a church, are we praying together, right? Sometimes we'll take a look at our discipleship plans, right? What are the ways that as a corporate body we're doing to try to help, especially with kids and youth discipleship? We have plans and we have checklists for those things. Those things are not bad. But Jesus is calling us to follow him beyond just those checklists. He's calling us closer. Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go and sell all your possessions, give to the poor, then come and follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Let it not be us who get so close. We try to do all the right things, but when Jesus is calling us closer, when Jesus is calling us beyond just that list of things, let it not be us that walk away sad. But instead, let us be those who are willing to say, look, I've got my checklist and I'm going to keep doing the right things, right? I'm going to keep doing the good things that I know I should do. But I'm going to follow Jesus even beyond that. I'm going to follow Jesus every day. I'm going to follow Jesus when it's uncomfortable. And I'm going to follow Jesus when it's not easy. And some days, I'm going to do better at it than others. That's the good news this morning. That tomorrow, we can follow Jesus a little bit closer than we did today. And if we mess up tomorrow, guess what? Jesus is still calling us daily to follow him even closer, to follow him even closer, to go beyond just whether or not we've done a good job on our checklist. He's calling us closer. He's calling us to a life that's not just transactional, but it's transformational. See, idol worship is transactional. What can I bring? What can I do? What can I give so that I can get to do this? That's idol worship. When we say, what can I do so that I will get this, so that I can receive this, so that I can do this? Jesus is not calling us to a transactional relationship. He's calling us to a transformational relationship. He wants to transform us. He said that I will make you a new creation. I will make you new. I will transform your mind. I will renew your mind with my word, with my presence, with my voice. Not transaction, not I will give you this if you will do this for me. But I want to change who you are. I want to change your very nature. I want to transform your life. He's calling us beyond just a list, but to a lifestyle of following him. This is good news. It's good news because sometimes we feel tied to our checklist. Sometimes we can feel tied to, am I doing enough? Am I doing it right? But Jesus wants us to just follow him today and then tomorrow and then the next day until eventually one day we will finish this race. One day the race on this earth will be over and we will cross the finish line and he will say, well done, because you've been faithful to follow me every day. He's not looking for those who are good at checking boxes. He's looking for those who are faithful to run the race every day. who are trying to live in his image, trying to be like those little children, who are willing to just come to him, who are willing to just be in his presence, who are willing to walk with him and trust him. He's not looking for those who are just willing to do things for me, but who are coming to follow him and do what he's doing. What is Jesus asking you to surrender today? What is the step he's calling you closer into? I want to ask you to stand on your feet, and I want to ask our prayer team to go ahead and make their way to the front. I want you to close your eyes with me, and as we wrap up and get ready to pray together, we'll have the prayer team ready here at the front of these altar areas. Opportunity for us to respond. But I want you to think again about Caleb, the little boy standing there with his checklist, doing everything that he thought his father wanted him to do. He was trying his best, checking every box. And he's still wondering, did I do enough? Did I do enough? I think in this room, there's some people who probably feel like this. I have another picture to show you, kind of a difference between that kid who's a checklist child and a kid who's following Jesus. See, the checklist child says, I follow the rules so I can get love or approval or reward. Always asking, have I done enough? Did I miss anything? Will God be pleased? Trying to perform, trying to try harder, not to mess up. Compare myself to others, living in fear, trying to earn what God has for me as a relationship based on performance. But the following child followed Jesus, says, I followed because I'm loved. I trust and enjoy the one who leads me. I can trust, I can listen, I can enjoy, I can rest, I can receive, I can grow. It's a relationship based on love, not on performance, not on how good we can do. Think about the thief on the cross, hanging there next to Jesus. He'd not lived a good life. He had stolen from others. He was being punished for his crimes. And yet, in some of his last moments, he recognized that Jesus really was the Son of God. Jesus really was the Messiah that they had been expecting and waiting for. He was willing to make that confession, even on his, quote, deathbed. As he was hanging there dying, he recognized who Jesus was and was willing to declare it to others. This morning, I wonder if sometimes we forget just how good God's grace is. That even though this man had been a thief, had been taking advantage of others, has broken God's law and the law of man, and was being punished for his crime, Jesus was still willing to say, today you can follow me. You can't walk with me on this earth, but today you can follow me. And you can follow me into paradise, into eternity. So would you close your eyes with me and bow your heads all around the room. Today, Jesus is calling each and every one of us to follow him. God isn't standing over us with a checklist. He's standing in front of us with his hands extended. Just like the little boy's father, he's not saying do more. He's not saying try harder. He's saying come with me. See, we don't need a better checklist. Sometimes we just need to drop the checklist because we can complete and check every single box and still miss walking with him, just like this rich young man that we read the story about today. He had completed all the check boxes, but he wasn't willing to give everything and to walk with Jesus. Today, Jesus isn't asking us, did you do everything right? He's asking, will you follow me? You don't have to earn his love. You just have to take his hand. If that's you today, you say, I've been living like this checklist child. Maybe I've been like the rich young ruler. And today you're ready to become like a little child who just wants to walk with the Father. He just wants to get closer to Jesus. If that's you today, I want to invite you to join us. The prayer team is here. They want to pray with you. Maybe today you're making a first step to follow Jesus for the first time. Or maybe you've been following Jesus for a long time. And today you want to step out and have the prayer team pray with you to help you to follow Jesus closely and to follow Jesus beyond a checklist. I want to pray with us and then open these altars. The prayer team and I will be here to pray with you. Let's pray. Jesus, today we're so thankful. We're thankful that you've given us an example of good things that we should do. Loving one another, praying for people, sharing the good news, making disciples. You've given us lists of good things that we should do. God, but we're so thankful that you don't want us just marking off a checkbox. That you draw us closer. You want us to be close to you. You want us to know you. You want us to have a daily relationship where we're walking in step with you. God, you're calling us beyond just check boxes. You're calling us beyond just trying to be good enough, trying to be good, trying to do the right thing so that we can get your love, so we can get your approval, so we can get eternal life. God, you're calling us beyond those transactions. You want to transform our lives. Today we say, here we are. We're laying down ourself. We're taking up our cross. We're willing to follow you every day so that we can move past just a checklist and check boxes. We can come close in relationship like a child who trusts you, who follows you, who loves you. We thank you that you forgive us for our mistakes. We thank you that we don't have to be held today to what we did yesterday, and that we don't have to be held tomorrow to what we did today. But every day, you said you want us to follow us, follow you in a fresh and a new way. So today, God, we surrender to you, to following you, in Jesus' name, amen. These altars are open. If we can pray with you about anything, about following Jesus closer, or maybe you have a need this morning that you just want to bring before the Lord. As someone who's following him close, Jesus wants to meet and supply for all of your needs according to his riches, according to his goodness and his glory. Let's pray together.
We want to thank you for listening to the message today. We would love for you to stop by and see us. Our services start at 10 a.m. on Sundays and 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights, with various small groups throughout the week. Here at Life Church, we hope you have a great week.